Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerf Ray Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to the And welcome to episode 188. Can we just roll this to the beginning? All right, perfect. Welcome to episode 188 of Nerd Pride Radio. 188. What?
Can I be in this one?
No, Aiden, you can't be in this
Please?
One.
Please?
No. No. I honestly just had, I know you're being funny, because you think you're funny. I just had the credits correct, finally. It took me three tries. I got them. Shut up. Okay. Welcome to episode one. Do we need to cue the music again? Hold on. Let's do the music again.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerf Ray Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 188 of Nerd Pride Radio. 188 is the runtime in minutes of the Green Mile. I got nothing. Nothing. And I looked a lot. And, I mean, there was some common, ordinary, you know, it's an untouchable number, and it's a who knows what. But, man, that was nothing inspiring. I feel bad. I've let you down. So, or you've let me down. You know, you guys can write these things, too. Ask me how I'm doing today, though. Go on. Ask me.
How are you doing today?
Well, you don't have to yell quite so loud, but I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D slash Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus... There's like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. As always, you are listening to the best smelling podcast on the internet. That's right. Nerd Pride smells exactly like your dad's pocket protector. Thank you for that one, Aiden.
Yeah.
Awesome. But before we get started, and it's going to be a short, meticulously plotted portion today, because I just don't have a lot. But before we even get to that, I do have, that's right, another installment of our all too frequent segment.
Mike was wrong?
Mike might have been, maybe, possibly wicked wrong.
Trying to cover up?
Well, no, after I talked about Turner Falls last week, and then I talked about all the trash at Turner Falls, and then my brother wisely suggested that, you know, it's possible that maybe you just caught them on a bad day, because it really is, it's the start of the summer season for them, and it was just Memorial Day the day before, so they had just finished Memorial Weekend, which would have meant they would have been sold out, there would have been tons of parties there, it would have been an unusual time for Turner Falls, and so maybe the trash we were seeing was a result of an overload from that weekend, that maybe their dumpsters and trash cans just simply couldn't accommodate the kind of weekend they had. And so maybe the trash is not typical of what you would normally see at Turner Falls during the regular season. And I admit, you know what? I hope that that's right. I hope that that's correct. There were some other places. I mean, I don't know. There are things that make me doubt that. But then, you know what? What do I know? I'm seeing what I want to see, maybe. So, you know what? Let's give them credit. And either way, I would have to go back and visit Turner Falls again at a different time of year in order to verify that theory. So I may just do that someday. And then, you know, of course, I'll come back and tell you about it. All right. But also, before I move on, I thought about doing this in the double feature, but I don't have another movie, and I already talked about it a little bit last week, but I'll just throw it into updates. Yeah, you guys asked about Wonder Woman last week. Well, guess what? I saw Wonder Woman this week. I saw it for Father's Day, which I know it's not Father's Day yet, but we decided to go early because this was a time that worked really well for us. And
when is Father's Day?
Father's Day is next weekend, I think. So, something like that. Anyway, yeah. But anyway, we saw Wonder Woman, the whole family, and it was spectacular. It was absolutely spectacular. It is everything everybody said about it. You guys, you don't need me to tell you. You've probably already all seen it, and you absolutely should see it. All right? It was wonderful. Any doubts I may have had about any portion of this, completely blown away by watching it. It was amazing. My wife, who enjoys superhero movies, but not nearly as much as the rest of us, Lisa, in the middle of this film, if we hadn't been in a theater where it was really just the six of us and then one other couple sitting behind us, we went in the middle of the week. And if it had been either a more empty theater with just us or had it been a more full theater, she said she would have stood up and cheered. And you'll know the scene. It's the scene right in the middle, in the village. And she said, yeah, at this point, she would have stood up and cheered. She was ready. She was so excited about that scene. Everything about this movie just kept building and it was wonderful. And, if you want to hear a really good take on it, I have been telling you guys I listened to, the political podcasts from Crooked Media, but specifically Love It or Leave It, their Friday night. It's a pretend comedy quiz show sort of take on the news. Super funny, really good material. John Lovett is a spectacular host. I think this guy is amazing. And one of his guests this week was Washington Post columnist Alexandra Petri. And Alexandra Petri is the youngest person to ever get her own Washington Post column. And she is, from listening to her on this podcast, clearly kind of a dork. And in the most awesome way possible. As an absolute compliment that she is a glorious nerd. And to listen to her talk about Wonder Woman, it's at the very end of this week's podcast, this week's Love It or Leave It podcast. But towards the very end, she goes on about 5 minutes about why Wonder Woman was spectacular. And it's wonderful listening. It is absolutely gorgeous. You should go listen to that. In fact, you should listen to Love It or Leave It in general, but go listen to this week's episode just for that 5 minutes towards the end. Totally worth your time. So, I would say, I'm not going to go into detail on Wonder Woman, because I don't want to give any spoilers for those of you who haven't seen it, except to say that it's awesome and everyone's absolutely right about this thing. But someone made the point today. I think it was Phoebe. Phoebe and my brother Kyle were talking on the boards. And someone made the point, and this is exactly right, that it was wonderful to see Wonder Woman in this film being in World War I era London and they made very plain all the problems of the patriarchy, all the problems of being a female in this type of society and how restricted they were and how stupid the rules were and at no point did they make this a movie about Wonder Woman battling the patriarchy. You know why? Because it didn't apply to her. That it was so glorious that you know, men are telling her she can't speak, and it's not even like she has to fight for her right to speak. It's not like there was any struggle here. She simply does what she's going to do because it's the right thing, and she moves the hell on, and it wasn't even a contest. It was, you know, getting into a battle of wills with Wonder Woman in this movie for these guys was exactly the same as if they had decided to arm wrestle her. It's just not even worth her time to comment on it. She just does her thing and she moves on. And it was amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, Wonder Woman, great movie. Aiden, did you like Wonder Woman? Yeah, see, he's nodding. You can't beat that kind of testimony. All right.
I enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, see? And we all did. We all absolutely did. It was great. Okay. Now, having done that, it's now time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy week, I add it to my master list, and then the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record.
You lucky dogs.
You!
And the first thing off that list? My gaming table.
I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die.
Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games, if it fits on my gaming table, I am here to share it
You guys can never see this, but every time he pauses to put in music, I can see him dancing and mouthing the words to it.
It's adorable. The worst part is that even though I pretend like I can hear those, I can't actually hear the music because I'm going to insert it later, but I know what music I'm going to put in there. And yeah, I sit there and I pause long enough to leave a little space to put the music in. I pause long enough that I'm singing along to the music I know is going to be there. I do a little dance. It's adorable. You guys would think I was so cute if you could see it in person, because I'm great that way. All right. On my gaming table this week, I got a bunch of stuff, none of it huge. Gen Con is huge. Gen Con is super huge. It's going to be the 50th anniversary of Gen Con this year. That's amazing. And guess who's going to be there? Yeah, this guy. Oh.
And I mean, is it really that special? Because, I mean, last year was their 49th anniversary.
Yeah, you and that. Whatever. No, it's their 50th anniversary. It's going to be bigger and better than ever. You know what? Gen Con may almost get too big for us to ever attend it again.
Why?
It's getting big. It's getting to where the hotels have always jacked up their prices during Gen Con, but do you remember the La Quinta Inn we stayed in last time you were there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we paid normal room rates for that La Quinta while we were there. It was like $110, $120 for a night for a room. The exact same room is where we're staying at the La Quinta this year, and this year it's like $170 a night for a room. Right. They are jacking up the rates hard because it's getting tough to find anything within a mile of the place. So that last year they had record attendance. This year they're expecting to break that record. But it's still going to be glorious because we've got, I think, 8 of us now going. It was going to be 8, and then it was 7, and now we're back up to 8 again. Sarah Beth is still not going with us, sadly.
What?
I know. Whole sausage fest. We are going to be 8 spoons, 1 big bed. All right? It's going to be awesome. So that's right. Was it you or was it mom who said maybe with 8 of us we could arrange like Mobius spooning? Could we? All right. So
a spooning without beginning or end.
Exactly. Oh, that would be so comfortable.
would it be though?
But the whole point is there's going to be a bunch of us, and last night we all got onto a big group chat and we started combing through Gen Con schedules and picking out events. And yeah, we should have done it last week when the stuff was new, but we still got into great stuff and we're very happy. We're going to play a Pathfinder game that all 8 of us got into called Beer Run. And, it's Pathfinder characters at a beer festival. What could go wrong? And we're going to play, some Laser Riders. So, that's from Cardboard Fortress Games. Well, it's actually not Cardboard Fortress. They're actually, they came up with it, they developed it, and then it's Greater Than Games is the people that are actually making it. And that's my friends Anthony and Nicole. And their game, Laser Riders, we're gonna go all play Laser Riders together for a while, and we're gonna try out some new board games, and we're gonna bring a whole bunch of stuff for ourselves. And this was the extra bonus. We're in the middle of looking through stuff, and my friend Dave says, "Oh my God, They Might Be Giants is gonna be there. Do we wanna go to that?" I'm like, holy crap, where?
Yeah.
What? Yeah, I want to go see They Might Be Giants for $10. $10 ahead, I can go see. Yeah, so we're going to go see.
Do you know why it's $10?
Why?
They're kind of on the downslope, aren't they?
You are. This is why Sarah Beth doesn't like you. You're mean to me.
That was more mean to They Might Be Giants than anything.
Yo, yeah, well, Yeah, you attack They Might Be Giants, you attack my soul. How dare you?
I mean, honestly, what are the odds that they listen? If you're listening, I'd like to say that I'm sorry.
John, if you're listening, he didn't mean it. He knows not what he says.
I honestly love you guys.
And he is a big They Might Be Giants fan. We're gonna go see They Might Be Giants. We're gonna go see Concert Against Humanity. We're gonna play a bunch of games. I think there's nothing planned for Sunday. Maybe this year we will actually sit down and record the podcast from Gen Con and actually get everybody in on it. Wouldn't that be awesome?
An 8-way podcast. No.
Yeah, that's right. 8-way? Yeah, 8 co-hosts. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Well, has Jacob been on the podcast before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jacob's been on, you've been on, Dave's been on.
Dave was on in a car, so I don't know how well that turned out.
Kaz was on the Animal Cast back when I did Animal Cast.
But that doesn't count.
And then, still Pat, Andrew, Bill, oh, and me. That's the 8th one. I'm sitting here counting on my fingers going, oh crap, I forgot somebody. Oh god, they're going to be so insulted that I forgot who they were.
It was me.
Yeah, and I'm kind of insulted. So we're going to have a good time, and I can't wait for Gen Con. And of course, we'll tell you all about it, and it's going to be great. So also this week on my gaming table, I got my Cobras. My Cobras game came in the mail. I've been talking about Cobras forever, and it came in the mail, and it looks beautiful. It's so pretty. They sent me the email saying, hey, we're shipping, and they give me the little link to follow it, and I sat there and followed that thing all the way across the country until it got to my doorstep. I was so excited. So it looks good. I love the new pieces. I don't actually have to have a pencil to keep score anymore. Cobras is awesome. And so I'm going to bring that with me and, introduce it to all of my friends at Gen Con. We're going to have a good time. What else? Oh, this week also, because it was Pretend Father's Day early, they gave me a bunch of gifts, and two of my gifts were new card games that I've never played before. One is called Six Nimmt, which apparently in German means six takes, and it is a card game. There's 104 cards, numbered 101 to 104, and there's just everyone's got a bunch of cards available to them, and you all play simultaneously, which is really cool. And so you have to kind of guess everybody else's move, and then you all play simultaneously, and then based on what cards you play, you choose the order to lay them out on this board, and it wound up being really fun. We played a game of it where my wife Lisa actually sat down and played with us, and she loved the game. Noah played with us, and Noah caught on to the strategy super early, and he loved the game. So Six Nimmt, it was Game of the Year, or Gamen of der Jahr. I don't know. I don't speak German. I'm just faking that. But it was Game of the Year like 10 years ago or something.
Super good.
And then also a game called Saboteurs, which is a dwarven mining game, and in this game, you can play with a bunch of people, and I think you can play with it like up to 8 players. And Saboteurs has, as you go through it, you have some people who play regular dwarven miners, and some people who are playing saboteurs, and you don't know who's who. And just like in Secret Hitler, the saboteurs, the bad guys, are in the minority in the game, and so. So some of them are trying to complete tunnels to get to the gold at the end, and the saboteurs are trying to stop them, and it actually looks really good. We just haven't played it yet. We got all the pieces out, and I kind of laid some out and kind of went through the rules in my head, but then we didn't have time to play with the whole family. But I'm really looking forward to that one, too. So I'll tell you how it goes. Let's see. Also on my gaming table, Instant Game. Yeah. For those of you who aren't familiar, Instant Game is a free download from Nerd Pride Radio. It was developed by me and my brother and some other people from our Animal Ball days, and we all kind of worked together, and we put together Instant Game, and the point of Instant Game is you have a whole bunch of tables, and you roll some dice, and you just get all the elements you need to design a role-playing game off the top of your head. All right, so in the past, we had campy historical figures, it wound up being, we rolled up a comedy game, and it was clones of historical figures being trapped in a science lab, and And all the scientists disappeared for the day, and they had to solve, where the hell did our people go? When are we getting breakfast? And so we had Helen of Troy in there, and we had Benjamin Franklin, and it was just a really cute game. And it turns out that the bad guy was a whole bunch of clones of Bruce Lee. And so this came out of... My son laughs, but this came out of just, you know, we rolled a few dice, and those are the numbers that came up, and we're like, okay, we can make that work. We played all sorts of really good games with that one. I wish I could remember more details of all of them off the top of my head, but we love instant game. Again, it's just the ability to roll a few dice and you get a setting. You know, it gives you a setting and things that you have to include in it and, you know, the technology level and, you know, quirky things about it. And then it tells you for the plot who the opposition is going to be and what their goals might be. And again, you have to just take all these disparate elements and put them together and create something on the spur of the moment. And it's just intended for little one-shot role-playing games. It's not meant for long campaigns. But it's so much fun, and we love doing this. And so I have a project in mind that, and you know, and I don't know if it's going to go anywhere, but I'm hopeful that I would really like to expand Instant Game and make it into something a little bit bigger and better than what it is right now. And because, you know, up till now, everybody who has tried it, and it's had thousands of downloads. It's the most popular thing that I've got on my website. And the feedback I get is people love Instant Game. They don't care for the rules, so they don't use my game system that I included with it, but they do take Instant Game and they use it to go with other game systems that they do enjoy, and thus, that's the utility of it. So I want to build on that. Get rid of all the game rules crap that I came up with, leave those for other stuff, and instead focus on the Instant Game charts and build those up and give some more utility out of that and some more flexibility out of that. And I've got some really good ideas and people are helping me along with that. And I'm looking at maybe having something to kickstart, you know. It won't be for a while. So if I do a Kickstarter on Instant Game, it's honestly going to be, I'm guessing about a year from now. Because here's the thing I didn't know. I went looking to do some research on, okay, what do I need to know? If I'm looking at doing a Kickstarter down the road, what do I need to know? And the first thing I found out is I got guided to Stonemaier.com. It's a guy who's kickstarted a bunch of his own games. It's Stonemaier Games. And they've kickstarted a bunch of stuff and been very successful with it. And he has taken all of his kickstarting experience and turned it into a whole ton of blog articles about it. So man, if you're interested in kickstarting anything at all, man, that is the first place to start, is StonemaierGames.com. Or Stonemaier.com. I don't remember which one it is. Hold on. I should look and be accurate, right? There it is. StonemaierGames.com. And Meyer is M-A-I-E-R. StonemaierGames.com. And look for his Kickstarter articles. And is just so informative. He's kickstarting board games. So, okay, it's right here in our wheelhouse, at least. And one of the first things he talks about is how to build your brand, how to network, how to create excitement around your project. Before you even get close to doing a Kickstarter, you have to have a network of people who are already in your camp, already supporting you, already on board with whatever it is that you think you're going to do. And then when you come up with the Kickstarter, they go, hell yeah, let's do that. It's about getting the excitement there ahead of time, getting enough people around you that you are pretty sure that once you launch the Kickstarter, you got over half your support already in the bag. That's what's going to help spread it and get it going. And, man, to do that kind of networking and community building is not something I'm good at and not something I've done before. I'm enlisting help and I'm learning, but it's going to take some time. It's going to take some, you know, spreading my wings, trying different things and, getting people, just getting to know people, getting people excited about stuff, showing people who I am. And then hopefully once they know who I am, you know, maybe they'll come around to listen to my podcast. Maybe they'll come around to check out the site. Maybe they'll be on board for this Instant Game project I'm talking about. But, you know, that's all down the road. But what it's shown me is it's an almost overwhelming amount of work to make something like this happen. And thus, I'm taking it one piece at a time. Moving forward, obviously, I'll give you guys updates as I go. But I'm really hopeful. I'm really hopeful about this. This is something that is very doable for me. Like I say, there's a lot of pieces to it and a lot of things that have to be done, but I also have a lot of people that like me and are willing to help me. So, I need to remember that and not be afraid to ask for help. So, you know, if I ask you guys for help, and I probably will, you guys will be there for me, right? Of course you will. So, just letting you know, that's what I'm working on. That's where we're going. So come around to the boards, talk with us about it, hang out. You know, you can be a part of this too. Let's see. That's it. That's all I got for games. So therefore, yeah, that was it. I told you it was just gaming table. So, we're done with the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast, and we're going to go straight into the pod. I got to get R2 over here. O-matic. Damn it. R2, you let me down. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod O-matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2, who didn't even bother to get himself turned on before we started, in his fully pimped out Pod-O-matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums. I will add it to my Pod-O-matic list, because Pod-O-matic is about whatever you want it to be. And you know what? You know what? All my whining about how people haven't been sending me any Pod-O-matics lately, that it's just Kyle, and Kyle is dominating the list, and no one else is contributing, and you guys keep not sending me stuff. You know who responded this week? My family. They were there for me. My son Jacob apparently has started listening to this podcast. So hi, Jacob. Good to have you on board. And I mean, he's listened in the past, but now he's promising. He thinks he's going to be a regular listener because he apparently likes it. So he sent me a bunch of Pod-O-matics, and my wife sent me a bunch of Pod-O-matics. And so I actually have new ones in here. And that means that Kyle now only owns, you guys want an exact number? Let's get up there and get close. Let's see. Kyle currently, 37% of the board. So he's down from 38%. So there you go, guys. Whew, slowly cutting into his territory. All right. But our first number is number 23, my favorite number of all time. And number 23 is from, there it is, it's from Kyle. Kyle says, you get to be a famous novelist, super rich and critically acclaimed, but one of your kids has to become a frustrated failed novelist. Do you do this? And if you did, which kids would you choose? Well, it's only one kid. And if me being successful meant one of my kids had to fail at their dreams, I don't think I could bring myself to do that. If I knew that that was the consequence, I would not do it. However, if I did do it, I would probably get them together and ask for volunteers. And then, whichever one loved me the most would, none of them are paying attention right now. But no, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. And I don't think I could choose a kid. I don't think I could choose one to become a failed and frustrated novelist. I don't think I could put that on any of them. I'm sorry. Not me. As a joke, I keep wanting to finish this out and just go, but you know, I'll pick Eli or something like that. But I can't even do it as a joke. I'm not going to pick one. 83. Let's see, 83 is from? It's from Kyle again. I guess he does dominate. Kyle says, did you know that there's a significant portion of people that wipe themselves standing up? What? Are you sick? Freaks! Freaks, all of them. And did you also know that these same people think everyone does it that way? Weirdos, right? Oh, dude, I can't. All right. I knew this already. And you and I both know the same person who does this and, who was, yes, we were amazed because who the hell would do that? Wipe standing up? Seriously? That's crazy. Crazy talk. And then when we confronted the person, the response was, wait, you mean, you guys don't? Seriously? Who doesn't wipe standing up? How do you get, okay. All of which really is just, ignoring the point that wouldn't we all be better off with bidets? Seriously? I mean, wouldn't it be better off if I had like a fountain back there to just wash my butt for me? Wouldn't that be great? Oh man, Americans are so dirty with our toilet paper. Gross. But yes, I was aware of that fact. 95 is from Jacob. Hey, all right. My son Jacob that I mentioned sent me some Pod-O-matics, and here's one of them. It says, how does one make themselves churn? What would it sound like? Oh, that is an excellent question. Because you're in luck. I have on occasion listened to myself churn, and usually it's in, always, it's in a swimming pool, all right? And then you get a rotation going, and I always, when I do it, I feel like it's, you're like the agitator in the washing machine. When you got your normal upright washing machine, it's got the agitator post in the center that just rotates back and forth. All right, if you get in the water, you can get yourself laid down in the water, and then you can just start spinning. Like, it takes, you know, a little bit of practice if you've never done it before, but you can just spinning. I always relate that to the churning of the washing machine agitator. So that would be me churning. And mostly, it just sounds like water. It sounds like the rush of water around you. Or if you're closer to the surface, it sounds a lot like splashing. It's just regular pool noises. It's not all that unusual. But, that would be churning. I suppose there's also a metaphorical internal churning, but that doesn't sound like it would have as much of a fun noise to it as just spinning around in the water. In fact, you know what? Me and Noah just went to the pool yesterday, and I did a little bit of churning just to be weird, and it was kind of fun. So, there you go. That's my answer. 58. 58 is from... Oh... Aha. I got it. It's from Zim. Hey, Zimny. Zimny says, aliens hack the Voyager 2. Okay, let me just say I can always count on Zimny to give me a very unique question. Aliens hack the Voyager 2 space probe and makes it send a bizarre message back to Earth. You have been in charge of decoding it. Who do you recruit to your team to help you complete this task? Oh, that's easy. Amy Adams' character from Arrival. Did you see her in that thing? Gosh, she's
got...
Best
movie ever.
Yeah, she could handle anything. You want a Xeno translator? Man, she's the one. I am right on it. Alternately, can I just recruit, you know, like idols of mine just because I want to hang out with them? I mean, like suddenly it's just me in a room with Chris Hardwick and Will Wheaton listening to alien messages because I think that would be a fun conversation. Can I do that? I mean, or just bring all my friends. All my friends are going to Gen Con with me. I would recruit all of them. And it would be us hanging out in a government laboratory listening to space aliens. Best party ever. We're not going to be very productive about it, but who gives a crap? How much fun would that be? All right, that's just me. 83. And 83, was that the one we already did with Kyle? I think that was 85. I don't remember. No, it was 83. Holy crap. Okay, 71. We can do that. 71 comes from Mrs. Darks. Hi, Mrs. Darks. I have not heard from you on the Podomatic for a while. Mrs. Darks says, group office gifts, a nice gesture or an obligation gone too far? It is always a nice gesture. The problem with office gifts, this is the same problem with Secret Santa gifts, is the same problem with all sorts of things like that. If you don't know the person well, you're not giving them a gift that they really want. You're guessing, and you're giving them something that's kind of generic, kind of an every person sort of gift. And thus, it is appreciated. It's appreciated because it's thoughtful and all that. But is it a great gift? Is it something that, you know, that holds value? Holds it as much value as the money that was put into it? Often not. Although, you know, again, there's some really good gift buyers out there who really know what they're doing and they can come up with some really cool stuff. But in general, it's never, it's just, I mean, like, it's nice. It's nice and it's cool to see it. But, you know, it's also in an office setting where, hey, we go in to get something for everyone's birthday. So every birthday that comes up, we have a birthday pool of money that everyone pitches into. And so, I mean, you know, so I'm going to pitch in $5 every time there's someone's birthday, or $10 if it's someone I know really well, or whatever the obligation is. And so I'm pitching in $5 or $10 every single time the office gift thing comes around, and they get something really, you know, nice and big out of it. But maybe, you know, not exactly what they wanted, but nice and big. And then, you know, when it comes around my turn, I get a similar gift, and it's like, I don't know. If unless it's really personal and thoughtful and you know, really, really appropriate to me and not just one of those generic group gifts. You know, if it's just a generic gift, then, you know, I've pitched in $100 over the course of a year so that I can get a really nice, but not really personal $100 gift when it's my turn coming around. I don't know. It seems like a waste of resources sometimes. That's just me being cynical. That's me being cynical. It also, look, there's also all sorts of positives of building office morale, right? And no one ever resents this sort of thing. And I'm sure there's all sorts of other positives that I'm just not thinking of right now. But to me, it seems like a lot of hoopla for mediocre stuff. That's what I usually think. 23 is also my favorite number, so that one's been done already. 88. 88 is better. And let's go to Kyle. All right. Kyle says, describe the first time you remember that dread in your stomach when you broke your glasses, lost your retainer, etc., and you knew you were going to get in big trouble with the folks. Ooh. Let me see. It was breaking my glasses. And I don't remember how old I was, but I do remember that the first time I broke my glasses, I remember crying. And I remember, I mean, I can't remember if I was in school, if I was at home, I assume it was at home. But I remember being so worried about breaking my glasses that I was just bawling. And whoever it was I was talking to was concerned that I was hurt. And I wasn't hurt. I just broke my glasses. But yeah, God, it was the end of my life either way. So, but man, I can't remember. I've had glasses since I was 3 or 4. I don't remember the first time I broke my glasses. I mean, I remember the first time I broke my glasses. It was a traumatic experience. I just can't remember any of the other details around it. I mean, I remember vaguely that it happened and that it was very upsetting and that, and I remember that confusion in somebody that, are you hurt? No. But yeah, how do you explain that? It was weird. Oh man. Yuck. 82. Man, it likes the 80s this time around, doesn't it? Alright. 82 is from Kaz. Hey, Kaz.
You like Kaz?
Kaz says, would you survive the Forbidden Island? Of course I would. And if so, how? Well, because I would be the engineer, and I would be shoring up the island to keep it from sinking on everybody else. And then, once my work is done, you know, everybody else has gathered up all the treasures, I've kept them safe, we get to the chopper, and then we get the hell out. That's how I would survive the Forbidden Island. Clearly, it's the engineer. Yeah, the engineer gets to shore up extra pieces, and just to shore them up on diagonals, which is really, really useful. Oh my God, you can't imagine how much a difference those diagonals make. Which is why, by the way, in Mars Needs Cows, since Mars Needs Cows, which for those of you who are listening and aren't familiar, it's a game that Kaz, who was asking the question here, Kaz designed the game. I've play tested it. I just saw on Facebook where he got 3D printed a bunch of new pieces, saucers and little men figures for his game. And man, they look good. I am so excited. He's going to bring Mars Needs Cows to Gen Con, maybe even put it in the playtest hall, which would be super awesome. In Mars Needs Cows, the version I've play tested, there's only 9 squares on the board. And so thus, when you're moving around, the ability to move diagonally is phenomenally powerful. I mean, it's literally the difference between, if you can move diagonally, it only takes you 2 moves to get from any corner to any other space on the board. Whereas if you're limited and you can't do the diagonal movement, now suddenly it's 4 moves. I mean, man, that thing is huge. So the engineer having diagonal building skills, whew, man, super, super powerful. I really, really like that in Forbidden Island. So there you go. 88. It's like the 8 is stuck here, man. 88 we've already done. Shake it up and go. 32. All right. 32 I can handle. 32 is Mrs. Darks again. Hi, Mrs. Darks again. And she says, if someone made your costume, would you cosplay at a con? This is not a trap question, is it? This is purely hypothetical, right? Right, Sarah Beth? Just, you know, I mean, I was just curious. Just, if you happen to be in that situation, I'm not saying someone would make you a costume. Certainly, that would be silly. But, you know, if someone did, would you wear it? Yes, I would wear a damn costume. And I would have a really good time doing it. What if you had to make the garb? Oh, if I had to make stuff? No, I am way too lazy. Who would you choose to go as? Well, you already have lots of ideas. I mean, what was the latest one that we just came up with? Puddles the Clown from Puddles Pity Party. That's the latest one. Oh, man. I would love to be Puddles. Especially now that he's on America's Got Talent. Now, even more people will recognize him. Although, I think at Gen Con, I think he's pretty recognizable to start with among that crowd. But maybe that's just me. Maybe that's me. My bias is showing. Jacob is actually working on a cosplay right now. Hold on. Let me ask him if I'm allowed to talk about it on the podcast. Just a second. And I'm back. Yeah, I just messaged Jacob. And so you guys just missed out on about 24 seconds of my life. But he said, yeah, go right ahead. I hope I follow through with it. He's actually planning because he would love to dress up for the con. But he doesn't right now, doesn't have the wherewithal to make a full professional style costume. So he's going to go with something very casual that is clearly him dressing up, but is not him doing a full on costume. So he's going to go with what he's referring to as hipster Link. And, you know, if you look online, you can find a lot of examples of a hipster Link sort of style, but he's basically going to go with a very relaxed hipster type outfit, but it obviously meant to be Link. So he'll do his hipster beanie cap will be, in Link's green, and he'll, you know, in addition to going with the green theme, hopefully with the brown boots and some khakis, he'll also have his Legend of Zelda shield backpack that he'll be carrying all of his stuff in, this kind of thing. So he will clearly be Link, but not like a fully dressed up Link. And he's shown me some of the stuff. He just ordered himself a $15 sleeveless hooded tank that is in the forest green that Link wears and is really appropriate. It's super cool. So anyway, we're going to help him with some stuff, but I think that's what he's going to go with. So I'm excited for him. I think it's great. But you know, that's Jacob. He's willing to put more effort into it than I am. 48. 48 is from we're only 40 minutes in, but, I don't think this is going to be a terribly long episode. So we'll be done fairly soon. Hey, it's from my wife. This is great. My wife says, name a time you were, oh my God, she just put this one on here. I mean, like, literally 15 minutes before we started recording. Name a time you were ashamed of something nerdy you were doing, even though you recognize in hindsight that you had nothing to be ashamed of. All right. This was a story I've told before, but when I was in college and we had our Dungeons and Dragons game that met every single weekend in our apartment, and we filled one wall of our apartment. As you walk in the door, of our apartment, the wall with the front door on it was filled top to bottom, side to side. This entire wall was filled with pieces of graph paper we had taped up there to represent the map of the continent we were gaming on. It was like, I mean, it was massive, and it covered hundreds of miles of territory and had all the details. And every game, as we filled in new stuff, we'd just get up there with some pencils and write new stuff on the map and lay out all the details. And this world just kind of grew as we continued playing. And it was really cool. I don't even remember if there was an official name for the world or if it just happened. But anyway, that's what was on the wall of our apartment. And one night when we ordered pizza, the pizza guy comes in and he's standing in the doorway. He's handed us our stuff. He's waiting for his money. And he's looking around. And he gets an eyeful of this gigantic wall. And he's like, wow, if I didn't know any better, I'd think you guys were a bunch of gamers. To which we, like, as a group, as a whole group, we, and I was right there with everybody else, denied it. No, hey, but no, it's a project for history class. It's a, nah, it's not a, nothing. It could, shut up, take your money and go. And here's the thing. A guy comes in, spots the giant map, makes a joke about us being gamers. Clearly he's in the club. He's part of the tribe. There was no reason to not just drag him in and make him part of this. And yet, we were caught off guard. Like, the whole lot of us caught off guard. And it's like, oh, but no, what? No, nothing. No, I mean, this, no. This, but of course, this was 1991. This was not, I mean, if it was nowadays, even at that age, if it was nowadays, oh shit, who cares? Yeah, of course we're gamers. Jesus, what, you got, come on in, have a, we'll explain the whole map to you. But in 1991, yeah, it was a little more touch and go. It didn't have quite the cachet it does today. So, you know, God, hell, just this week, oh man. Had the new guy at work, Roberto, and Roberto's in the office and he was looking for password stuff or who knows what. And, because I'm the computer guy and so I do the orientation and I set them all up on the computer and I give them their email and make sure they can get into everything. We take care of it all. And so Roberto stops by my office and he sees the giant foam dice on my desk and he's like, oh my God, you play D&D? And I'm like, hell yeah. And so I start talking. I'm like, you? And he's like, I used to, but it never quite got into it. But, and I can see he's hinting around something when we finally nailed it down. Oh, it's Magic the Gathering. All right. I got your number. Cool. And then that's when Yancey jumps in and says, well, hell, then you need to come down to community game night this week. And we went on and I think we made a sale and we've got another sucker for community game night and he will be there this Friday with his magic cards, hopefully ready to duel. So, and then, you know, then once we've got him there, then we can start showing him all the other stuff we've got and it'll be cool and it'll be awesome. So, I mean, nowadays nobody cares, but back then, oh man. Yeah, it was shameful. A guy who recognized what we were doing, understood what it was, and yet we couldn't take the risk that he might think we were a bunch of gamer D&D nerds. No. So, yeah, it's too bad. I'm glad things are different now. 46. We're really going to make this the last one. 46. Oh, it's right here, right next to me. 46 is from Kyle. And Kyle says, quick, write a haiku about Jack Burton from Big Trouble in Little China. Oh, this, all right. Oh, this is going to be tough because I got to count syllables. All right. Do I describe Jack Burton or do I quote Jack Burton? I mean, because what does old Jack Burton do when the earth quakes? When the pillars of it? No, when the arrows fall from the sky, pillars of heaven shake. You look that big storm square in the eye. And, okay, no, wait. Hold on. Remember what... Oh, no, that's going to be way too long. I can't put a remember in the first line. That is not going to help. How about... All right. When the earth shakes, that's only four. When the earth shakes and the pillars of heaven. Oh man. Do I have the wrong shake? Damn it. All right. Hold on. When the earth quakes and there's five. The pillars of heaven shake. Seven. All right. Give me your best shot. That's it. Give me your best shot, pal. I can take it. All right. So to sum it up, I got 5, 7, 5. I don't know if it makes any sense in that order, but I got when the earth quakes and when the earth quakes and the pillars of heaven shake, give me your best shot. There you go. That's the best I got for Jack Burton. All right. We'll do one more, make it around 10 for this episode and then we'll be done. 70. 70 comes from. Oh, well, I wasn't even on the chart. I don't know why I was in such a hurry to get to a name. There it is. It's from Ronster. Hey, I haven't heard from Ronster yet this episode. Ronster said, does the Goonies hold up after all these years? Let me ask my kids. Eli, did you watch the Goonies with us? Aiden, did you watch The Goonies with us?
Not with you, but I've seen The Goonies.
How'd you like The Goonies?
It's an old movie, but it's okay.
Yeah, it doesn't quite hold up. I mean, it's good. It's good, but it is a bit silly, and it doesn't quite hold up. It's not nearly as thrilling as it was when we were kids. I've watched it since, and I know Eli says he's never seen it, and Aiden says he didn't watch it with me, and yet I know I watched The Goonies with my children. I think they were all four in there, but they're a bunch of liars, so you can't trust them. But yeah, I don't think it holds up. I loved it as a kid, and rewatching it, it was very nostalgic and cool, and yet it was missing some stuff. So, you know, it's not perfect. But, you know, it's not bad either. That's the thing. Just remember, if you're going to get your kids to watch it with you, don't expect them to love it. Don't expect them to have the same feelings about it that you did at that age, because it just ain't going to happen. That's not unrealistic expectations. All right. That's the end of the Podomatic. We're all done. I'm going to turn it over to GLaDOS, and she is going to give us a recap of this week's episode.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was just Weezer's In the Garage. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them, because I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network. Angry Geeks Versus, Me Like Trivia, Nerd Pride Radio itself, quality nerd podcasting from quality nerd people. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use. Write us a nice review. Give us 5 stars. Those things really make a difference. But you want to make the biggest difference for this podcast? Recommend it to your friends. Seriously, if you're enjoying this, go out, talk to your friends, tell them how awesome it was, let other people enjoy it as well. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for Listener Betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, something that I couldn't get from Wikipedia for that number, send it to me. Seriously, save me all that grueling research. It's getting harder. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up there, send me a message. We will hang out together. We'll become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it's time for Listener Betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds and my Facebook page, and I post up that, hey, I am recording an episode. Anything you guys post in reply, I will read off right at the end of the cast, which is what I'm doing right now. And first up, I'm going to go over to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. And the first one is from, let's see, here it is. To commemorate Adam, oh, this is from Kaz Monster. Kaz says, to commemorate Adam West's passing, give us your favorite sound effect from the Batman TV show. Well, as it happens, seeing this question, I have now looked up all of the sound effects from the Batman TV show. And the most impressive part of this list, one, I didn't realize how many different sound effects that they used throughout the course of this show. But second off, apparently the second episode of season 2 must have been either Shakespearean themed or medieval Arthurian legend themed or something like that, because this episode in this list has a whole crap ton of regular sound effects with eth attached to the end of them. So instead of bang, bangeth, clanketh, clunketh. It's just the whole episode again. Must have been Shakespearean, or it must have been King Arthur and the Round Table, something like that. But of this list, I mean, Crack, crunch, kapow. Yeah, a lot of that. KO. That's pretty good. Powie, pow. All right. But I think my favorite out of this, there was one. Where is it? No, not glurp. Not kersploosh. There was, man, there was a really long one that I liked. Whack, whacketh, whammeth. Wham with two M's. Oh, there it is. Zgrup. All right, Zgrup is Z-G-R-U-P-P-P. I like that one a lot. From season 1, episode 21, by the way. But my favorite, with five Z's to open this thing up, Zwap. Oh, I like Zwap. And that one, by the way, used four different times. So, Zwap apparently was really popular. Although, okay, now that I just realized that there's a number in front of them, Zap came up 42 times. Sock came up 41 times. I always liked Sock. That one was a pretty good one. Yeah, Pow 49. That would be the big winner. No, Kapow 50. Oh man. All right, 50 Kapows. But there's a bunch of them in the 40s. So anyway, there you go. Yeah, sad to see Adam West going, but he was 88. 88, and the man worked a lot right up to the end. I mean, it was a lot of voiceover work and guest appearances here and there, but, he was still working. So, you know, hats off, moment of silence. Okay. Next up, my brother Kyle is betraying me, and he says, when was the last time you did a backflip? I would guess that the last time I did a backflip was, it was after high school because we had a pool in our backyard when I was in high school, and I got fairly good at doing a backflip off the board. And the last time I did a backflip probably would have been sometime in college or early in my marriage. So, I mean, couldn't have been later than 95. All right. So somewhere at least 22, 25 years ago, but I don't remember exactly when, but it's been a long time since I've done a backflip. However, you might know this already. Our dad, who is not quite 70, our dad just did, yeah, cause he's 69. we made that joke a lot while we were seeing him on vacation. Anyway, our dad just did a backflip off the board into the blue hole pool at Turner Falls while we were there last week. So, man, kudos to him. That was really impressive. We didn't think he was going to do it, but he did. And it was pretty good. All right. Next up, Phoebe. And Phoebe says, when was the last time you did a cannonball into a swimming area? And on a scale of 1 to 10, how amazing was it? The last cannonball I did would have been last year at our local pool, and it's a aqua park. I mean, it's got water slides, and it's got a wave pool, and it's got a regular pool, and it's got the play area for the kids with the stuff to climb on and the squirt guns and all that stuff. So it's an aqua park, but I'm sure I did a cannonball off of the low dive and possibly even the high dive last year. Because last year was Noah's first year going up on the high dive, and he was really excited about that. And so I believe I went up there with him, and I am sure I did a cannonball. And, you know, memory's a little fuzzy. And I'm also sure that on a scale of 1 to 10, it was probably about a 7. As in, spectacular simply because I'm a large guy and I can displace a lot of water. But only a 7 because... oh, not as awesome as I was hoping it would be. God, I was really hoping you're going to get the lifeguards and, you know, the pool's going to empty out because of all the masses of water I've displaced. But sadly, yeah, it was about a 7, maybe a 6, something like that. Phoebe then follows up with, would you rather have a robot that prepares freshly cooked meals for you or a tiny robot that floats around your body gently fanning it with either cool or warm air depending on the surrounding temperature? Cook my meals, robot. Yeah. That one was an easy one. I would love a robot that makes freshly cooked meals for me. The floating robot keeping me comfortable, I would probably be more annoyed with it than anything else. I mean, it's a good conversation piece. You show it off, but it's really distracting. And honestly, when you meet new people, that's all they want to talk about is, why the hell is that robot fanning you? Where'd you get? All right. Anyway. No, have that robot cook for me. And he doesn't have to cook for me. You know, sometimes I'll give the robot the night off. Sometimes we want to cook, but sometimes we like having that extra hour to ourselves. You know what I mean? So, yeah, no, definitely the cooking robot. I love that. And then there's a post from me saying done. So we're finished here. And now we head over to, let's see. Head over to Facebook where, oh, hey, all right. We've got extra contributors here. So let me go in and say comment. And here we are. Okay. Whoops. All right. Next. God, sorry. I got a lot of things popping up on me. Let me type in done and we are finished. All right. The question on Facebook for Listener Betrayal is from Nelly. And Nelly says, so close to Gen Con. Yeah, no kidding. I was just talking about that. I cannot wait. It's going to be great. And then she says, favorite pizza toppings? Anything meat. As far as I'm concerned, I can have a pizza with a single type of meat on it. Give me pepperoni. Give me sausage, hamburger, Canadian bacon. Just no seafood. But just traditional meat toppings. A bacon pizza. I don't care. I love meat. And if you want to combine those in any combination of 2, 3, 6, I don't care. Meat. That's what I like on a pizza. If you want extra cheese, great. Extra cheese, I guess. But really, to me, extra cheese just distracts from the meat. Let's see. If you're one of those that likes extra sauce, I suppose extra sauce isn't bad either. But really, meat. That's what pizza's for. Meat. All right. And then, what are your weird favorite food combinations? Now, this is the one where, as I was trying to get into Facebook and close down all the pop-ups, my wife had already responded to this question for me. She says, hey, my answer to Nelly's question is your macaroni and cheese with ketchup on it. Yeah, you know what? But that's not a weird food combination. That's just Canadian. It's only weird to people in Nebraska. But I've been putting ketchup on my macaroni and cheese since I was little, and I love ketchup on my macaroni and cheese. It is, there's an art to it. You can't have too much. You know, there's got to be, you know, and you can't, I've seen people that like to just put ketchup on their macaroni and cheese and then you just stir it in. That bugs me. I don't like my macaroni looking all pinkish. It's kind of gross. It's got to be like a topping, like it's meatloaf and you're just getting a little bit on every bite. And anyway, that is a weird food combination that I have always eaten and I just really like. I love macaroni and cheese of any sort. And I do like it with ketchup. I also will dip my grilled cheese sandwiches in ketchup because, again, cheese and ketchup, there's nothing wrong with that. It's good for me. All right. One thing that we just had tonight, for supper, and this was not a weird food combination for me. This was Eli's pick for supper because, again, we have a menu and everyone gets to pick their meals. And Eli's pick was Scotch eggs and zucchini pizza boats. All right. Now, several years ago, Jacob introduced us to his recipe for Scotch eggs, which, you know, hard-boiled eggs wrapped in meat. Pretty cool. And we've actually found that we don't care for them when they're done in pure sausage, because that was the original recipe. And when you do them in pure hamburger, it tends to fall apart. They don't hold together so well. But kind of a half-and-half mix of sausage-hamburger together, and you wrap the eggs in that and then bake them up. It holds together really well. Good flavor. It turned out really well. So anyway, Jacob introduced us to Scotch eggs that he had found a recipe for and he was so excited to make them for us. So he did. And this was several years ago. And at the same time, he had also found a recipe for zucchini pizza boats and he wanted to introduce us to that as well. So he just made both of them in one night when he was home from college his first year. And the zucchini pizza boats, I mean, it's just, you know, you take half a zucchini, hollow it out a little bit and then fill it with, you know, pizza sauce and some sausage or whatever topping you're going to put in there and then some cheese over the top and bake it up. And it's a zucchini pizza boat. And they're really tasty. But because of that, ever since then, we have never had Scotch eggs without zucchini pizza boats because it's not, I mean, I like both of them well enough and so does my wife, but neither one of us is ever actually going to pick Scotch eggs or zucchini pizza boats to be our supper. But, you know, we like them well enough. But Eli loves them. And when he requests them, he always requests them together because that's how we first had them, is scotch eggs with zucchini pizza boats. And it's a standard meal for us now. And I would say once every 6 months or so, we'll have scotch eggs and zucchini pizza boats. And we keep trying to tell him that, you know, dude, you don't have to put them together if you don't want. I mean, you know, we could have scotch eggs with a bunch of regular sides and other stuff, or we could have just zucchini pizza boats as a whole meal all by themselves. You know, like zucchini pizza boats and a salad. And he's like, no, they go together. And that's how we always have them. So there you go. Weird food combination. And that's it. That's everything I've got for this week. So you guys have been super awesome. I appreciate you being here. I look forward to seeing you again next week. I love you guys. Take care. Good night.